Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say? Our father Abraham to have found according to flesh. What then shall we say? What are we going to say? According to the flesh, what did Abraham do? According to the flesh, what did Abraham do? According to the flesh, not according to faith, but according to flesh, working under a law of some kind, whether it's a natural law, whether it's conscience, or whether it's any other law. What then, this is written 2,000 years after Abraham, looking back at the ancestors. If he's the father of faith, why isn't he the father of works? Why did 430 years after Abraham cometh the works? Why did God wait so long to give the law to Israel? Well, the simple answer is that they weren't a nation, but they were about to become a nation. So Abraham was a single individual living in Ur of the Chaldees. And because of that, he met God one day while worshiping the idol, the moon god, Sin, S-I-N. It's the same as our word for sin, but it has nothing to do with that. It's just his name. So he was worshiping that god. And God waited patiently for him to come out of the temple. And he made a promise to him. And that promise made him the father of faith. Promises always make faith. Promises always make faith. You don't have to have faith in a command. Stop. You don't have to have faith. You obey commands, but you believe promises. You obey commands, but you believe promises. A promise is something on your account. In other words, a promise is given to someone who's loved. In other words, a promise is something that someone who loves you gives to you. I promise I will spank you. That's not a promise. I promise today I'm going to not feed you. That's not a promise. A promise, then, is something that a loving father gives to his son whom he loves. So promises always require faith, because there's something you believe or don't believe. There's something you believe or don't believe. So if I'm the promisor, then you're the promisee. And I promise you that I'll be back today within an hour. Okay, that's a promise. I'll be back within an hour. But that's for your benefit. The promisor is always the beneficiary of the one who promised. So the one who promised has to be a creator who owns you, who governs you. And he decides, I want to give something good to my servant, to my trustee, to my steward. I want to give something good for them. So the message today is about the hope for the ungodly. The message today is entitled, Hope for the Ungodly. What is the hope of the ungodly? That God loves you, loves sinners while they're still in their sins. He loves sinners while you're still in your sin. Not after you say you're sorry. Not after you've earned your way out. but someone who's still stuck in the sin, who's committing the sin and deserves nothing, had no merit. There's no hope for that person except in God. So the hope for the ungodly sinner with no hope. So the hope for the hopeless. So when you've sinned, and we all do, when you've sinned, and we all do, even as Christians, we still sin. Even as Christians, we're proud, we're angry, we're lustful, we're fearful, we envy others. Even as Christians, we still sin. Daily. So His mercies are new every morning. And they're new because whatever you did yesterday, you might repeat today. Well, I think I conquered anger yesterday. I was so angry. I'm proud of that. Well, now you have the sin of pride. Oh, yeah, right. And so you can't get rid of any sin. So there has to be hope for the ungodly. Because all have sinned and fallen short. If you're short and you jump with a big run, jump across the Grand Canyon, and you make it maybe 5 feet out, or if you were a pole vaulter, maybe you could go a little further. Maybe you could go 12 feet. And really, somebody could actually go maybe 17 feet. It's possible. So, depends on what kind of a runner you are. But you fall short of the other side of the Grand Canyon. And so, if you fall short of the glory of God, if you fall short of what God intended you to be when He created you, if you fall short, you're ungodly. Because God expected you to be godly. You were to be His steward. You were to answer to Him about all the decisions you made during this life. And every decision you made was either for God or against God. It's either for God or against God. If you're His servant, His creature, His trustee, well, then you have to answer to God. Why did you make that decision? That decision deserves punishment. That decision deserves punishment. And so everything apart from faith is sin. Everything apart from faith is sin. Because you didn't have a word. You didn't have a promise. You had a command, but you didn't have a promise. How many know that when you have a command, you cannot keep it? Because God doesn't just say, do it outwardly. God says, do it with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And the end of the law, love your neighbor as yourself. The beginning of the law, worship God. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. So His commands are never do the best you can. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says, just do the best you can. So, you're bound to break the law because you're not perfect. He created you in His image and in His likeness, so now you can be a steward. And not only look like Him, but be like Him. You're not a frog, so you're created in the image of God. So you're not a frog. You're not a cloud. So you are created in the image of God. So you're not a cloud. You're not a rock. Because then you'd be created in a rock image. But you were created in the image of God. You were the only one that was created in the image of God. Nothing else in all creation was created by God to have His image. We're the only ones. We're unique in all creation. We're the only ones that not only look like Him, but you could act like him. If he feels, you feels. If he thinks, you thinks. If he does something good, you can do something good. The only problem is you can't. The only problem is you can't. Because he wants you to do it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. So he didn't say, do the best you can. He said, be perfect. As I'm perfect. Just be like me. I want you to have my image, and then I want you to be perfect like I am. That's so hard for people. That's so hard, Jacob. I doubt you can make it. I mean, the standard is way too high for me. Because I'm not. I may be created in the image, but I don't have the likeness. So, what hope is there for the ungodly that disobeys God, that doesn't believe his promises? And disobedience always arises because of disbelief. If you don't believe, you'll disobey. If you don't believe his promises, you will disobey his laws. So you're guilty. Everybody's guilty. Everybody on earth is guilty. Amen? Even Christians. If you were judged under a law, you'd be guilty. And no reward would come to you because you disobeyed his command, because you didn't believe in his words, in his promises. So, everything in the Bible is a promise from God. He would not have written the Bible just to convict the ungodly. He wrote the Bible to actually convict everybody that you're guilty. Even the Jews. Even Christians that are lukewarm. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All. The word all includes you. I don't know if you know that. That the word all includes you.
Amen.
So, everyone here is not only born a sinner, you were conceived as a sinner 9 months earlier. So everyone here knows the law because it's written on your heart by the finger of God as soon as you're conceived. So everybody knows right and wrong. They just don't know what it is. But they know there's wrong. They know there's right. And after they've done something, that was wrong. Or, ooh, that was right.
Could I ask a question, or should I wait till...
No, go ahead.
How do you, in 4 or 5 times in the Old Testament, it says, God says, I am holy for you, be holy.
And right.
Peter even emphasizes it.
Right.
How do you reconcile that? I mean, he's telling us we are to be holy like he's holy.
Right.
But, we're sinners. I mean...
Sure.
How do you reconcile
that? Oh, that's easy. That's easy. That's a good question. Don't you think that's a good question? Okay, so since God says, I'm holy, I want you to be holy. So, when were you?
When what? When was I?
Yeah.
When was I what?
Holy.
Never.
You just answered your own question. It's a contradiction.
I mean, I'm trying to be.
Oh, did he say that in the Bible? Try to be.
I mean, I want to be, but... because he said...
If you don't want to be, it's okay. Did he say that? He didn't say try to be. He didn't say do the best you can.
Right.
He didn't say make an effort. He just said be.
Be holy. Right.
Be holy as I'm holy.
Right. I guess
so. I created you to be holy as I'm holy.
But we
now the question is. So the question is, you sinned, and 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 me sinned. We all sinned. Everybody here is a sinner. Can I hear? Amen.
Amen.
Everybody here is a sinner. So since everybody, all have sinned, all means you. Since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you obviously can't do what he told you to do, and you have reason, which tells you, yeah, that was wrong. That was right. And you have a reason. you have a moral conscience. Yeah, that was wrong. That was right. So everybody knows they're a contradiction. Everybody who has ever tried to please God knows they can't. Everybody knows they never did keep the Ten Commandments with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. And they don't love their neighbor exactly as they love themselves. They don't. So nobody here is righteous under a law. Nobody here is righteous under law. So I go back to my title. What hope is there for the ungodly? Because nobody ever did it. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. You are created to be looking like Him and acting like Him. So all your decisions are wrong, because every decision you'd make would not be loving Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, nor did you love your neighbor as yourself. So you didn't keep any part of the law. You broke the first part and the second part. You didn't worship God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and you didn't love your neighbor equally as you love yourself. So you failed. So what hope is there then for the ungodly? Great question. Great question. Since God said it, does that mean what I interpret as obedience to Him, does that mean I had to do it? Because He said it. He's the Father, and He said it, "Be ye holy as I'm holy." In other words, I'm the measure. God is the measure of all things. So if He said, "I'm holy, I want you to be holy just like me," and you said you tried, but trying is not in the Bible. There's no verse that says, "Try your best." How many know all children that we raise trying their best fail? All children. He tried his best. Did he not try his best? You tried to do your best to behave. But didn't you fail? And doesn't your sister fail? Yeah, she does. And you notice that. Hey, I spanked for that. You need to be spanked too. Amen? Because you just did wrong. She said not to talk, and you just talked. You know, whatever. So, how many know that everybody has sinned? All, the Bible says this, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Here's the glory. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's the glory. There's the glory right there. Do that, and God will give you a reward. But since nobody ever did that, what hope is there for the ungodly? I want to preach about that today. Because there has to be hope for someone that's ungodly. Now, you have sinned. Is that true?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's no question. And because you have, there has to be hope for the ungodly. That God not only will forgive you, not only will He cleanse you from all unrighteousness, not only will He perfect you, not only will He marry you, not only will He give you a full inheritance, there has to be hope for that, but it's through a promise. So, if Abraham tried his best to keep a law, he failed. He failed. And that's why he was looking for a city with foundation. He knew there has to be a city, and it isn't Ur. It isn't here in the moon god Sin that I'm going to find my hope. The moon god said, behave yourself, but he didn't. So he's always in the temple making sacrifices, making offerings, but they don't count. Because God doesn't want your offerings and sacrifices. So, since God doesn't want anything that you do because it's sinful, you're ungodly. What hope is there for the ungodly? So Abraham was the first one God came to and said, I want to give hope to mankind. You'll be the father of faith. So Abraham is the only one that God came to. He didn't come to his brothers. He didn't come to father, Terah. He didn't come to anybody except Abraham. Say, Abraham, I want to build a new creation out of you. You'll be the father of faith. So I'm going to show you a land. You have never been there. You've never been in this land. You don't know where it is. You don't need a map. I'll lead you. So he made all these promises to him. Seven promises. When God says, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, and I will. Seven promises. If he says that, then he will. Because God hasn't lied. Never. He's never broken his covenant. When he raises his right hand and he swears solemnly, that's a promise that you can count on. Amen?
Amen.
So, two more sinners are coming in right now. There's one, Willis. Willis. I know. He sinned today. Already. I know he did. Even though he's a Christian. He's a Christian. I know he has faith in God. But he's a low-down scoundrel. Because sometimes he forgets who he is. He looks in the mirror and says, you're a Christian. And then he laughs to himself and says, probably not very good. I'll try my best today to be better. And every day...
I don't try anymore.
You're not trying anymore? That's a very good idea. So, do promises always trump laws as far as God is concerned? Do promises always trump laws?
Yes.
Why? Because a promise is about what he'll do. I will. So whenever you see the word I will and it's made by God, you can rely on it. So if he says something, if he promises something, he will. I'll never leave you or forsake you. He never has. I will perfect you. That he will. The good work I began in you, I'll surely complete it. Wow. So God has never started something and not finished. He's perfect. He is perfect. So be ye holy as I'm holy. That has to be a promise rather than a law. So, it looks like a law, but it is a promise. It looks like a law because you didn't know how he thought, and I'm teaching you how he thinks. He thinks like this. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. Now, that would not be a promise. That'd just be a fact. So, if you eat, you will die. But he didn't say, if you eat, I'll kill you. He didn't say that. He just said, you will die. So, if you don't obey him, if you don't believe him, then you die. But if you do believe him before you obey him, if you do believe before you obey, then you will live. Based on faith. So, what can we say of Father Abraham according to his flesh? What can we say of Father Abraham according to his flesh? Well, he doesn't deserve anything. Because according to his flesh, he's a sinner. But by faith, in the promises of God, he'll live forever and ever and ever and ever. World without end. Wow, that's me and you. Why? Because of the promise, not because of the law. Because of the promise, not because of the law. You will live forever, not because of your works, but because of his work on your behalf. Because God is your Savior, he's your Lord, he's your bridegroom, he's your everything. So everything you've ever needed is God. You don't need man. You don't need man to love you. You don't need man to take care of you. You don't need any man to do it. If he's assigned someone, then that's their assignment. But since they're not perfect, I don't rely on them. Put not your trust in man. Put not your trust in man, put your trust in the Lord. Put not your trust in princes, put your trust in the Lord. Put not your trust in pastors, put your trust in the Lord. So, God's very clear. So, if I'm only to trust God, then I don't have any hope except believe his promises. Because a promise is not immediate. If someone makes a promise, that's the future. If they make me a promise and said, tomorrow you'll have a son, tomorrow things will be better, next week, next month, next year, but in the future, I promise you this, who for the joy that's set before you, endure the cross today. Endure the cross today. Don't worry about the problems. Don't worry about the troubles. Don't worry about economic problems, social problems. Don't worry about political problems. Don't worry about anything. Don't at all be worried about anything. I make you a promise. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete. There is hope for the ungodly. Let's say someone has been ungodly and they've killed a dozen people in their life. Is there hope for them?
Yeah.
How?
I'm glad.
People will send you to prison if you killed 12 people. They send you to prison for that. And in Texas, 3 times and you're out. So some people go up for life. Some people do tortious things. They disobey something, but it's not for death. So you don't go up for life. Only a few people are criminal, are evil. And but you know what? God will forgive them, even while they're in prison. They'll forgive them. So it doesn't matter whether you're in prison or not in prison. Everybody's in prison if you sin. But by faith, you're free. In prison, out of prison. Doesn't matter where you are. There's no difference between someone that's in prison, out of prison, because you're free. Why? If I make a promise to you and you believe it, I count that as righteousness. So, that'll set you free. So I'm free. I'm free whether I'm in or whether I'm out.
Amen.
I'm totally free. Equal. Not more so. No. Equal. Anybody, in or out, doesn't matter. You're innocent because of the promise. Promise makes you innocent. So, there's no condemnation for you because you walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So, you can't fail. Because God made the promise. You didn't make it. If you made it, I don't think I'd have any confidence in it. But if God made it, I have confidence. God cannot lie. He has not lied. He'll never lie. Let God be true, and most men a liar. Every man a liar. All of us are liars. You're a liar. 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 We're all liars. But if that's true, what hope is there for the ungodly? I have to, if I preach, I have to always preach to the ungodly, even if you're a Christian, and you're not called by God according to your works. You're called by God according to your faith, because we're in God's presence according to faith. So if I preach to a Christian who still sins, and all Christians do, you cannot name one Christian that hasn't sinned after they became a believer. And until that trump sounds, which is yet in the future, it's yet in the future, you don't have your new body and your new soul. You only have a new heart. You have a new heart. You have a new heart. Everybody here has a new heart. But the new heart doesn't stop you from sinning. As a matter of fact, he forgives you while you're yet a sinner. And then he has to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then he has to perfect you. And then he has to marry you. And then he has to give you the inheritance. Eternal life. And you'll wear the crown. But then when God is in your presence, you throw your crown before him. So up in heaven, all the righteous throw their crowns before him, Jew and Gentile, or the new creation in Christ, because all have sinned. Even now, you sin. Everybody here is equal. Everybody here is equal sinner. You may be proud that you're not a sinner, but you are. Thank God I'm not a liar like other people. Well, you are. How did I become a liar? That's the way God judges. Let God be true, every man a liar. Oh, but I'm not a man, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I know, but you still lie. How many know Christians still lie? There are Christians that you know that still lie. And they're Christians. They're Christians. They even come to this church and they still lie. People like that. That's amazing to me that Christians still lie after I've told them the truth that God loves you. Well, I know he loves me, but I still lied. I lied right there. I exaggerated. I deceived. I didn't tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. How many know that? Even as hard as you try, you will not tell the whole truth. Even as you uncover, you'll cover. I just said a very profound thing. Even as God reveals himself, he hides himself. Even though God is the one that reveals himself, the secret things belong to God. You're only responsible for the things he's revealed. But since he hasn't revealed everything, for example, nobody knows the day or the hour when he's coming. You don't know that. It's a secret. 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 And there's a lot of things. As a matter of fact, most of the things in God are secrets. I'm just telling you right now. The only thing that's not a secret is that here's how you become a believer. Believe in his promises. So now, I want to read on Romans 4, chapter 1. I read that, and I commented on that for 10, maybe 15 minutes. Now I'm going to comment on the next verse. What then shall we say our father Abraham to have found according to flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has a boast. He has something to boast about. If he by works obeyed God all the time, well, then he'd receive a wage for his work. But if you don't work, you don't get anything. Not in this world. But in heaven, you do. Because you believe a promise which is future. You believe a promise which is future. You believe a promise which is future. You have some of it now. That's called donum partum. P-A-R-T-I-M. But someday you'll receive the whole reward when he comes back, because he has his reward with him when he comes back. At his second coming, very soon, could be 5 years, could be 6 years, could be 7 years, but it's close. It could be 10 years, it could be 20, it could be 30, it could be 40. But we don't know because he hasn't told us the day or the hour. So, but it's soon. And it's not going to be after the 1,000 years. It's going to be during. And it's going to be in the beginning. He rose at dawn, so he's going to rise on the seventh day before it's light. Before you see all the light. You're not going to see the light. And they came to him, remember, the women? They came to him, the women. The women came to him, his followers, not his disciples. They came to him before it was yet light. They came because they wanted to anoint his body, because they knew that was their job. We kind of did him a little bit last night, but I think the Friday night. But I think we better do better. I think we'd better do better this time. And so let's anoint him, because we don't want him to stink. We didn't want him to stink. It's only been 3 days, so he doesn't stink yet. But by the fourth day, then you start to stink. The maggots and all those worms and so on, they get you. So God, they wanted to be kind. But you know, Jesus always told them, "I'll rise on the third day." He told them that. I'll rise on the third day. I have to rise on the third day, early in the morning. So we're already in the third day. We're definitely in the third day, 7,000th year. So it's the millennium already, but he needs to come on the millennium, the third day. That's in the, I think it's the sixth chapter, maybe the second verse. But anyway, it's somewhere in Hosea. It says, on the third day, I'll return. So on the third day, he lived in the first day, then second day, and now third day. So they knew he'll be back on the third day. Now that was after 4,000 years, and so they knew, be 2,000 years. Well, that's today. And then since it's 2,000, it has to be now. It has to be, he's going to come soon. And I want you to be ready. I want everyone to be ready. So I have to preach this sermon because I know everyone will listen. Everyone's going to listen. I don't care how they're listening today. I'm preaching close to the tribulation because I know that's coming very soon. Whenever the tribulation comes, then it's too late. It's too late. So I want to preach before that and make sure you're ready today, that you have no fear at all, that there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. You don't have any fear. You have no fear.
No.
You have no fear, Lynn. You have no fear, Peggy. You have no fear. You have no fear. No one here has any fear. Why? Because I told you the truth. It's not by works. It's by faith. It's by his work, not your work. Because God is the one that made the atonement for you, which you owed. That was the debt you owed, but he paid the atonement for you because he did it for you. God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. So since God himself will provide his own lamb for a burnt offering, it was his own son. It wasn't Isaac. So since that's the case, don't labor. Don't work. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take ye my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm gentle. I'm lowly of heart. By sides, my yoke is easy. My burden is light.
Amen.
In other words, you're yoked to me because we're going to be married someday. But you're yoked to me as a betrothed person. You're going to be my wife. So I just want you to know, just travel along. I'll do all the work. I'll do all the work. And so the lead ox, the lead horse, the lead is leading, dog, you know, ducks, whatever. Someone leads. And Jesus is always the leader. He's leading you. You don't know it because he works secretly. Oh, he has a lot of secrets. He works secretly. So I'm telling you the truth. So far, I haven't said anything wrong. So far, I haven't given my old jokes or old stories. But so far. But everything I say is out of the Bible. So let's read the next verse and see what happens. Because by works, he won't make it. It's not by works. It's not by works. Abraham was not a worker. He believed that God himself would provide the lamb. So it says, if Abraham was justified by works, he has a boast. But not with God. Not with God. Because God wants to do everything for him, in him, through him. For what does it say? Verse 3. Romans 4, 3. For what does the scripture say? This is what it says. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So since you believe in Jesus, you're righteous. Since you believe in Jesus, you're righteous. What did you have to do? Nothing. Believing is that he did everything. Believing is that you didn't make the offering. You didn't make the sacrifice. You didn't make the atonement. He did. So you're thanking him that he did everything that needed to be done for your righteousness. So he counts your faith as righteousness. The having faith isn't a work. Thanking him isn't a work. Praising him isn't a work. I'm thanking him for doing everything. I'm praising him. He is everything. And I'm going to marry him because I believe everything he said. So believing is just the response to someone who did everything. I'm going to say this. It's so strong, and I'm right. I'm right. Why am I right? I read the Bible. It says that God's arrangement for the world is to make a promise rather than a law. The law never came from his heart, by the way. The law never came from his heart. It was approved of because the law is actually a promise in disguise. The law is actually a promise in disguise. So it's a promise. It's disguised as a law, but it's not. Because, and here's what he could say, the law I'm giving you is the one I'll complete, is the one I'll start. I'll start it, I'll keep it going, and I'll finish it. Chapter 4, 5, and 6. So the law I give you is the law I will supply. I'll provide for that. In other words, whatever I demanded of you, I'll supply it. You can't do it. You can't cooperate. You cannot cooperate in this. You have no role to play. I do it. You didn't create yourself, I did. You didn't redeem yourself, I did. You didn't justify yourself, you didn't sanctify yourself, you didn't glorify yourself. I did all of that. Thank me. Praise me. Adore me. Worship me. I love you. And I will cause you to even bear fruit, because you're the branch. My son is the vine, and I'm the branch and vine keeper. And the fruit that comes out of him, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, all those nine fruits all come out of Jesus, because they are Jesus. He's the end of the law. He's what the law is all about. So we'll be Christ-like, spirit, soul, body. 4, 5, 6. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. I know I rush too fast, but it's all right. It's in the Bible. Just read the Bible, and you'll understand what I'm saying. That's too hard. Well, I know. Do it anyway. Because it's not a work. It's a pleasure to read the truth. Because it's your whole life. You don't have a life without this. You don't have a life unless you do this. I'm not saying you do it. It's not a command. It's just simply a promise. I'm just telling you. The promise is that I've done everything you need to do. I've done everything for you that you needed to do for yourself. But you didn't. So I forgive you. And now I'll cleanse you, and then I'll perfect you, and then I'll marry you, and then I'll give you the inheritance. For free. For free. For free. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. No other religion is like this. They all are under laws. All of them. Even Christianity. But we're not like that. We believe in faith. Alone, sola fide, sola gratia, sola scriptura, solus Christus, only Christ, only scripture, only faith, only grace, soli Deo gloria, glory to God in the highest.
Hallelujah.
Well, since I believe all of that in Latin and in Greek and in Hebrew, since I believe all of that, I'm taken care of. All I need to know is all that on my side, yeah. It's all for you. You are blessed. You have received every blessing in heavenly places, even though you don't experience them right now. You've received them all. They're all yours. You're the promisor. He's the promisee. I'm sorry, the opposite. He's the promisor. You're the promisee. You're the recipient. Because when he dies, testamentary. A will is always made. A will and testament is always made, but depending on the death of the testator. So if the testator doesn't die and you can't prove it, you can't probate the will. If you cannot prove that he died, I'll prove it to you. Want me to prove it? I'll prove it to you. The second that he died on the cross, he committed his soul unto the Father, and he expired. The second that happened, the temple curtain was ripped in the middle from top to bottom. That was a double curtain. That double curtain, very thick, very heavy. And it went up 60 feet up in the air. 20 cubits up. 18 inches. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, the weight on that was enormous. God ripped that to say, I saw it. I saw it. Forget man. But the priests knew it. Because every day they have to go into that place and make a sacrifice. Wow, and they went in there and they said, this thing has been ripped from top to bottom. It's open, just like that. There's a living way now, a new and living way that God has said. This is the way, approach me by faith. He's dead. This will is in effect right now. And from that moment on, the new creation began. Do you see that? So that's the death certificate that the probate court has to see in order to say, I can read the will. Now this is in effect. It's not just said, it's done. He's dead. Now, if you outlive the testator, you get the inheritance. If you don't, you don't. But immediately from that moment, we're born again. Immediately from that moment, it's finished. That's why he said on the cross, it's finished. Tetelestai, the end has already now. That promise is already now in me. I'm the, not the foundation of the church. I'm the cornerstone of the foundation of the church. And I'm going to heaven. I don't belong here on earth. So I'm going to heaven. But I'll stay 40 days and then I'll ascend. And then I'll be the cornerstone. And 10 days later, the church will start. It's in effect. I'm already telling you. And that night, he breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. That's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were born of the Spirit that night. Later than they were filled with the Spirit 50 days later. Everything is in order with God. Everything. He has thought of everything on your behalf, and you don't even know how he thinks. I'm telling you some things, but there's a lot more that we don't know and don't need to know. All I need to know is, are your promises good? Are you someone we can rely upon? Let God be true. Every man a liar. So don't rely on me, Pastor Jim. Don't rely on me. I hope nobody here worships me. Hope nobody here trusts me. I hope you go and read the Bible for yourself. I hope you check it out in the Bible. I want everything I say to be checked. And if I make a sin, forgive me. And if I said it true, just agree to it and so on and so forth. But that's yours, not a command. It's just simply a promise. Promises are not obeyed. Promises are believed. So you obey commands. You either obey or disobey. But with promises, you either believe or disbelieve. I was once a believer in myself. Now, I don't believe in myself. I believe in God. But I was once a believer in myself. Why? That's all I had. I was a rotten, selfish, nasty, cold person. But I believed in myself because that's all I had. And God didn't condemn me for that. I don't go to hell because I sinned. I go to hell because he didn't. I'm going to say that again. I don't go to hell because I sinned. I go to hell because I didn't believe. Not because I didn't work. But I didn't believe that he told the truth. And the truth will set you free. And you shall be free indeed. I am. So today, I'm going to heaven. Everyone here that hears my voice, you're not just hearing me, you're hearing God's voice. You're free. You're free. You're completely free. Amen. All you got to do is nothing. Just believe that everything's been done. All you got to do is believe that he didn't lie. You can't believe that I didn't lie. You can believe that he didn't lie. So now I want to read the next verse, because this is the sermon today is hope for the ungodly. There is hope for the ungodly. There's hope for the ungodly. What is it? You have to be ungodly. In order for you to be a Christian, you have to be ungodly. If you're lukewarm, you'll have to go downstairs to find the elevator that leads upstairs. You're on the first floor, get way down, and that elevator doesn't stop at floor 1, 2, 3, and so on. It goes all the way to the top, to heaven itself. And only God has the button that allows you to come up. So you're down at the bottom, humbled. You have to humble yourself from being on floor one. You have to humble yourself and say, need to go one floor down, and then you get an elevator there and it'll go all the way to the top. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at any of the floors in the middle. So there are elevators like that. You've seen them. You have to go down in order to go up. You have to humble yourself in order to be exalted. Everyone who humbles himself and says, I am a rotten sinner, I'm just exactly the same as everybody else that's ever lived. I'm equal to him. There's nobody more worse than I am. You can say that easily. There's nobody worser than me. There's nobody as bad, as evil, as wicked, as iniquitous, as I am. Okay, so since that's true, you're accepted. He only loves sinners. We're the only God, we have the only God that loves sinners. And he loved while you were yet in your sins. You didn't get rid of them. You didn't. It isn't after you said, I'm sorry. No, you didn't say you're sorry. He loved you while you were yet a sinner. And they're still there. Even after you're saved, you still sin. And you're still doing it today. You're still sinning today. Right now, you're sinning. Thought will come into your mind. Emotion will come into your mind. You know, deeds will come into your mind and into your life and so on. It doesn't make any difference. They don't count. The only thing that counts, faith in God. This is the Father of faith. He knows. And he goofed up after this. I mean, he goofed up. For example, he said, I want you to come to the promised land. Well, he stopped off in Haran for bunches and bunches and bunches of years until his father died. Then at age 75, I could tell you the exact date, but I'm just playing. At 75, then he says, now go to the promised land. Well, he said, I'll show you to the promised land, but God went ahead and went to the place that Jesus died and so on and so forth, Jerusalem and all that. But he stayed there until his dad died. And so that's not faithful. Why didn't he obey what God said? I'm going to show you. And then he goofs off and stays way behind, like Christians I know. And then after they get to the promised land, he looks at it and says, this is a pile of rocks. This is not promising. I don't think this is a promised land. As a matter of fact, they have a famine in this land. I'm gonna go somewhere else. I think Egypt is southwest of here. I'll go down to Egypt. And so he did everything wrong. I could name sin after sin after sin after sin. But he's not the father of works. He's the father of faith. He's not Moses. He's the father of faith. Moses is bilateral. Jesus is unilateral. God will provide anything he requires of you. So he forgave all that. He forgave him for all that. Even when he went to Egypt and lied about his sister, his wife, he just lied about that. She was a sister, she was a wife, but he decided to do that for the harem thing so he'd get favor and so on. So forget all that, forget all that, forget all that sin. Forget all that. And then Lot, you know, he wouldn't separate from Lot. All this kind of stuff. Don't worry about his faithfulness. He was not faithful. He had faith in God's faithfulness. Amen. To keep his promise. That's better. That's better. I like that better. So he snored. In fact, when he cut the covenant with him, he snored all the way through. And God said, I'm here, And he was sleeping. He was snoring away because he'd cut up that cow, that bull. He'd cut that thing up. And then the vultures came and wanted to eat the blood and so on and so forth. And they beat him off and they beat him off. He was just tuckered out. And he just... And then so God had to do his part and his part. He had to do his father's part. And he had to do his part too. I have to quit, Peggy said. So I have to read you the last verse.
Yeah.
I have to read you the last verse.
Yeah.
This is partial. I love this verse, this last verse. I was about to tell you that great story about Abraham. Now to one working, if you work, if you're working under the law, if you're under any burden, under any labor. Now to one working, the reward of God is not counted according to grace. But to the one not working, you have to be ungodly. To the one not working, you have to be ungodly for God to love you. But believeth on him, justifying the ungodly. Aseba. Aseba or Asebe. Asebe means you're ungodly. The ah is the no. You're not godly. So the ah in front of the word in Greek is always no, negative. So you're not godly. Now, is there hope for the ungodly? All the hope in the world. Why? Because God loves the ungodly. And he promises to do all the work to atone for you. He'll forgive you, then he'll cleanse you, then he'll perfect you, then he'll marry you, and so on and so forth. He's doing all of that for you because he doesn't want you to labor. He doesn't want you to work. He doesn't want you to do a thing. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll just trade you some rest, enter into my rest, and then you don't have to work. I don't want you to work. I don't want you to labor. I don't want you to please me. Don't make a sacrifice. Don't be good for me. Don't do anything. I'll take care of it. I know good and evil. Don't eat of that tree. I will eat of that tree. That's my tree. God knows all good and evil. Good is that he loves you while you're yet a sinner. That's good. I tell you, there's no other God like that. Buddha is not like that. Muhammad is not like that. Hinduism is not like that. Taoism is not like that. There's nothing else on earth that says you don't have to earn your way. They all say that. But not our God. Our God says, don't pay your way. I'll pay for you. I'm the one offended, but I'll pay your debt. I'll pay your debt. How much do you owe me? $1,000? $50,000? $1 million? $2 billion? I'll pay for it. I'll pay for that. He pays for everything. Why? It's easy for God. He likes to forgive sinners. How much do you owe me? Well, just forget it. I'll take care of that. I'll pay for that. I'll have my son pay for it. Not that you didn't sin. You did sin. I'm saving sinners. I'm saving the ungodly. I want there to be hope for the ungodly. You're ungodly. But God says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. You'll be perfect. When I'm done with you, you'll be perfect. I'll just bring you to my house. I'll fix you up. And you'll be more better than you were before. You won't be just Adam. You'll be Adam with faith. This time you won't listen to your wife. I'm going to make you a new creation. Not like anything I've ever made before. You were made in nature before. And you were subject to natural law. I skip all that. I'll let Jesus keep all that. Jesus will keep all that. He'll obey Roman law. He'll obey Jewish law. He'll obey every law there is. He'll do it all for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. So it's the best. This is so good. This is so good news. I can't imagine you're not jumping up in the air and saying, this is good news. Could you jump up in the air a little bit? A little bit?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's good. Because that's good news. I tell you, this is so good news. Why do I preach the same thing every week? You can fall asleep. It doesn't bother me at all because I know your heart already heard it. I'm just going to explain to you again. This good news is good news.
Amen.
Now, is there anyone here who wants to testify and say, that was good news today?
That was good news.
Yeah, it's powerful. Amen. It's powerful. There's hope for the ungodly. Why? Because you're no longer seen by God as ungodly because of your faith. Because of your faith, it's counted to you as righteousness. Because of you had faith in me that I was good. It isn't about you. It's not about you being good. It's not about you being good or evil. No, no, no. It's about me. I am always good. And Jesus said, I always please my Father. So that's the way he did it. He's good. That's all. If you just believe that God is good, let God be true. Let every man a liar. Don't worry about men. Man, you cannot rely on men. You cannot rely on yourself. You're just the same as every other man. All people are the same. Male, female, young, old, fat and skinny. You know, I don't care what categories you use, men are the same. So no man can save you. No king, no emperor, no high priest, nobody on earth. Jesus is your only mediator. He's the only one that stands between you and God. And he had to die. He's the testator that had to die so you could be free. It's in effect today. In effect today, even though you haven't seen it, it's already true. Because the good work he began in you, he will surely complete. Well, I'm not worried about that. Now, how can I make a choice like that just to say, I'll take it. It's so cheap for me. I'll just take it. How you can that? Because that's the only hope for life. The only hope for life is to believe the absolute impossibility that Jesus Christ loves you before you loved him. Amen. And before you loved the neighbor. Before you worship God with all your heart and soul and strength. He did all that for you. He did all that for you. Now you do. Don't even think about it. You already love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, even though you haven't seen it. Even though you don't see yourself loving the neighbor as the self, it's already true because Jesus said it for you. Now he's doing it in you, and now he'll do it through you. Believe the promise. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. The fat lady hasn't sung. When that's done, it's true, then the thing is over. But she hasn't sung yet. When she sings, you'll know it. You know, she's awesome. See, you'll know. Wow, this thing is over. She's up. She's up there singing. Do y'all understand what I just said? This is good news. It's so great, so good. All right. Since Peggy wants to go, say the prayer. You.
May you say the prayer?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you that you only have good news for us.
Yes.
Amen.
We thank you there's no burden. We thank you that you took all the burden, that you provided the sacrifice, and we can just laugh and rejoice and thank and praise you because everything's been done.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you for that.
Yes.
In your name, Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.